Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderley. This hour on the program, our election 2008 coverage continues. We're going to learn more about the major party presidential candidates' positions on energy issues. We'll talk with campaign representatives for John McCain and Barack Obama in separate half hours. First, speaking for Senator McCain, John Husted is Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, and he's co-chair of the McCain-Palin campaign in Ohio. Welcome to Open Line, John Husted. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much.
And we're at 614-292-8513. If you have a question, you can email questions to openline at WOSU.org. John, Senator McCain says, in a world of hostile and unstable suppliers of oil, this nation will achieve strategic independence by 2025. What does he mean by strategic independence, and how will we achieve that?
Well, I think Senator McCain's goal is an all of the above strategy. I guess that would be the best way to describe it. And that means more domestic oil production. That means more advances in technology to move toward alternative energy, whether that be wind, solar, battery power, automobiles, clean coal technologies, all of those things which can help lead to more energy independence for our nation. And the purpose, if you really look at this, you know, he's talked about the unprecedented transfer of wealth that has occurred in this nation with spending more and more of our hard-earned dollars overseas to purchase oil from foreign countries who, on occasion, are not even our friends. They may even be our enemies. And basically creating a situation where we're empowering people from a strategic standpoint who may be using those resources even to attack our troops on the ground in Iraq or in Afghanistan, and in trying to create a nation in America where we are independent of the need for using that kind of resource, their oil, their energy, that we become more independent, and that will provide us both more economic and national security as a result.
Hmm. When you look at sources, sustainable sources of energy, renewable like wind and solar, well, how can the federal government play a role in encouraging the development of those sources?
Well, the federal government can play a role in a number of ways. Basically, one of the things that you can have is making it easier to get permits to do these things, to really make it something that it allows. A lot of these things occur in the states, but you have to go through federal EPA approval and so forth to get things done. And setting out clear standards for where the bar is on what you have to do to build a new nuclear plant, to build a new clean coal plant, to help upgrade the grid so that solar and wind energy can be transferred from the sources where they're generated to a usable public use. All of those things the federal government can play in, and certainly the federal government can use the tax code as an incentive for people to make these kinds of investments, particularly new kinds of investments where we're generating domestic energy differently generating domestic energy and not giving incentives for the energy to be produced or at least as a raw material derived from outside of our nation.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about tax credits, are we?
Tax credits, I think, are part of that. He's also talked about a challenge for battery technology, $300 million as an award for creating a totally battery-powered automobile and the like. So there are a lot of things in that vein where the senator believes that we can use, the federal government can play a constructive role in helping move us away from the traditional forms of energy to more energy independence as a nation.
Mm-hmm. So Senator McCain, he said he would offer a $300 million prize to improve that kind of battery technology for hybrid and fully electric automobiles. Now, John McCain also has, as part of his plan, the building of nuclear plants, and quite a few, as a matter of fact, 45 new nuclear plants to be built by the year 2030 and 100 nuclear plants across the United States eventually. So he must be pretty convinced that nuclear plants are safe.
Well, I think that most people are convinced that nuclear plants are safe. Because we in America have not had an incident with a nuclear facility for many, many years. Many countries are using nuclear technology to power their nation. So France, most notably, is a big nuclear nation. And if you look at the situation here in America, if you're going to reduce our carbon footprint, if you're going to attack the issue of reducing carbon emissions and trying to address the issues that are identified as causes of global warming, then certainly you have to move away from those things that emit carbon and move to those that don't. Nuclear technology is one that does not. It helps reduce our carbon footprint as a nation, and certainly will put us in a position where we have energy independence, we have adequate energy. Because when you look at Ohio, 85% of our energy comes from coal right now. And much of our energy will continue to come from coal for quite some time. But how is it that we supply the adequate energy that we need? Because we're a big energy consumer state. Why? We produce a lot in Ohio. We produce products that are delivered around the nation and around the world, and that requires energy. And so we need to have a reliable source of energy. Coal and nuclear are two of the most reliable sources of energy. You don't have to wait for the sun to shine or the wind to blow. You have to have some stable source, and nuclear is the solution that you can derive a standard, adequate supply of energy without emitting carbon that will attack the issues that are associated with global warming.
What do we do with the waste generated by 100 nuclear plants? What happens to that?
Well, that's actually one of the differences between Senator Obama and Senator McCain. Senator McCain believes that there are sites in, for example, Nevada, where they voted to store nuclear waste that is a central site. It can be protected. It's safe. And Senator Obama did not support that particular plan. You have to put it somewhere. You don't want it setting in sites all across the nation. You would rather have it centralized away from where there is a high concentration of people and secured in that particular location. There are sites around the nation, particularly one in Nevada that I believe represents probably the best place to do this.
We're hearing the energy policy views of Senator John McCain with the representative for John McCain's campaign. My guest is John Houston. He's Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, and he's co-chair of the McCain-Palin campaign in Ohio. So if you have questions about John McCain's energy policies in terms of his candidacy for the presidency, we're at 614-292-8513, and you can email comments or questions to openline@wosu.org. Speaker Houston, does John McCain believe that human activity, the burning of fossil fuels, is a significant contributor to global warming? And the Bush administration has said that remains to be proven. Does Senator McCain agree with that, or does he have another view?
Well, you know, I've had these conversations with Senator McCain, and I believe he has a different view from the Bush administration on this issue. I will give you an example of I was one of his early supporters, and I sat in a room right in Columbus, Ohio, with Senator McCain, and I talked with him about what we had done in Ohio. In the Ohio House, in this particular General Assembly, I talked about how we had put benchmarks in for utilities to begin to produce in 2009 a greater share of their energy from renewable and advanced energy sources like nuclear, clean coal, like wind, solar, hydrogen fuel cells, and the like. And I talked to him about that I thought that this was important, and that I thought that I encouraged him to talk more about his views on this issue because I knew he agreed with me on these particular issues. And we were in a setting where one of the biggest energy users in Ohio, said to him that, "Well, Senator McCain, I disagree with you." He said that, "You know, we don't need more energy. Clean energy technology, that'll be more expensive, and I disagree with your view on that." And Senator McCain turned to him and he said, "Look, I respect your view. You're a big energy user. I know you want to have lower energy costs, but I'm going to give you some straight talk here. We have to clean up the planet. We have to start using new technologies to generate the resources or the energy that we need to power our country into the future, because it will create both an economic security for our nation and a national security when we stop relying on these foreign sources of energy. And, you know, I've heard him take on people on this issue who, frankly, you know, he needed their support, but he gave them straight talk. He was willing to confront them on the issues and stand up for his views, and I believe that that's what he'll do as our president.
Mm-hmm. So the senator is saying that human activity, the production of greenhouse gases by human activity must be reduced. My understanding is he's got a timetable for reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. Is that right?
Yes, he does. In the timetable for this, Senator McCain, you know, wants to begin this process as soon as possible. In 2012, he wants to return to emission levels at what we had in terms of 2005, which were 18% above 1990 levels. And by 2020, he wants to return to the emission levels of 1990, which were 15% below 2005 levels. And by 2030, the goal would be 22% below the levels that existed in 1990, which would be 34% below 2005 levels. And by 2050, 60% below 1990 levels, which is 66% below 2005 levels. And I believe he has a realistic plan for getting this there. It's not something that you can do, that you can turn around overnight, because of the situation that we have, for example, in Ohio. We have 85% of our energy produced from coal. The cost of that conversion to other forms of energy is both time-consuming and expensive. And so you have to set targets. You have to meet those goals. If you do it gradually, you can do it affordably as well. And affordably is a big deal, because when we talk about our economy, we have to think about the fact that as a manufacturing state, for example, you can't drive up the cost of energy too high, or you'll drive manufacturing out of Ohio. And the people that are most harmed by high energy costs are the people at the lowest end of the economic scale. The poorest of the poor pay higher, get hurt, because it's not only costs them more to drive their automobiles, to get to work, to do those kinds of things, also drives up food prices and everything else that they buy in their lives. So we have to have a target on the future to focus on a cleaner, greener energy policy, but doing it in a way that won't drive jobs out of our nation with too high energy costs, and also will not disproportionately affect people who are at the low end of our economic scale.
All right. I was going to say, there's a pretty ambitious goal by the year 2050 to have greenhouse gas emission levels 60% below the 1990 level. So I take it that it's a combination of nuclear power, sustainable energies like wind, solar, geothermal, et cetera, clean coal, all of these things. Is that it?
Yeah, that's right. It's got to be an all-of-the-above approach. As I know, as I tried to change Ohio's energy policy, as much as we may want wind or solar, you know, there are limitations to that. When the wind blows, how cloudy it is, and those kinds of things, while we need to move towards those, we also have to have some either clean coal facilities or nuclear facilities or higher efficiency fuel cell types of generation closer to the site of use, where we can add more efficiency, and also, frankly, conservation investments as well. Conservation so that people are not wasting energy and that they're using more fuel-efficient, energy-efficient types of appliances and so forth. It's an all-of-the-above approach from Senator McCain. That's the only way that you can afford to get there, both from a cost point of view and over the timeline that he'd like to try to do it.
All right, we'll take your questions now at 614-292-8513 about Senator John McCain's energy policies and proposals. John is on the line. Hello, John.
Hi. I guess my biggest challenge with McCain's plan is more, I definitely believe that there should be all options on the table, but it sure feels like nuclear is something that creates a lot of long-term cost, just more from the security component. I mean, I've known a number of individuals who have actually worked at those types of facilities, so I know it's a high security environment, and then you've got a lot of long-term waste that you have to deal with, as opposed to more, you know, more alternative like wind and hydroelectric. It just seems like those are more viable long-term options, as opposed to nuclear, which might be easier at first, but prevent or just creates a lot of long-term cost situation.
You're still talking about securing the nuclear plants from, I don't know, potential terrorist attack. Is that what you're suggesting? And also the storage of the wastes?
Correct. It just seems like all things being equal, we've got one that creates a byproduct that is going to last longer than any of us are going to be on this planet, as opposed to something else that doesn't. It just seems like, why would we even consider that, given those types of costs and those types of constraints? Hmm.
John Houston, your thoughts?
Well, I think that there's some validity in that argument, but I would say that that's the reason that Senator McCain has really not tried to say it has to be one solution over another, because I don't believe that we know, given what we have with available technology, you know, how adequate will solar be? How much can we produce on a reliable basis? How much can we produce in terms of wind energy on a reliable basis? Will fuel cells and the conversion of hydrogen, for example, or nitrogen provide a greater share of this? Because to the extent that you can do that with those types of technologies, you won't need clean coal or nuclear facilities to the same extent. But you also can't put your head in the sand and say, well, look, we're just not going to consider these things, because you have to keep an open mind and you have to look at the economics of which are most viable. Certainly, security and long-term threats to any facility have to be part of the equation. But I think that's the reason that it makes sense that we don't put all of our eggs in any one basket, that we look at nuclear, clean coal, wind, solar, fuel cells, et cetera, biomass. All of those things are part of the equation.
Caller, do you have a quick follow-up?
Yeah, I guess it just seems like the alternative pieces are really more talking about long-term jobs. I know, like Owens Corning here that's local, they are highly involved in wind or moving in that direction. It just seems like if we're talking about this as being a jobs equation, nuclear is a highly specialized field in which you've got something where you've got a small amount of workers as opposed to other areas where it seems like you've just got a lot of greater opportunity for job creation. So,
okay, caller, thanks for your questions and comments. We have a second caller whose name is John on the line. Hello, John.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I had a quick question for your guest there. I just think the McCain campaign makes it seem like if we start drilling right now that we're going to see an immediate return in the gas pumps. And most experts that I've heard say it takes 10 years for us to see a price change in that in the gas prices. And there was even a person on NPR from Chevron, an expert, saying it would take about 10 years for that oil to get to the pumps. And I just wanted him to kind of explain that a little bit more. And also, if they do start drilling more, what's going to stop the oil companies from exporting that oil to other foreign countries?
Mm-hmm. John Houston, we're talking about drilling on the continental shelf off our coast, and a certain amount of that oil, I guess, could be exported to other countries. How do we know where it will go?
Well, here's the thing, is that it will take time, but that means that the longer we wait, the longer it'll take. And look, there's more of a reason to become energy independent than just the price of oil, because you don't want to be. Look, if Hugo Chavez decides to cut off the oil supply to the United States, you know, we have a problem. We're going to pay for that. We have to, for both economic and national security reasons, focus on how do we do more to generate the supply of energy that we need for the future, and as to not be subject. Because, look, a lot of the places that we're getting our oil are places that are very politically unstable. In some cases, they're countries that are basically consider themselves enemies of the United States. And the oil supply issue is not about changing the price of oil at the pump tomorrow from $3 to $2.50 or from $4 to $3.50. It's about both an economic security and a national security interest. And Senator McCain is not proposing that drilling offshore on the continental shelf is going to be an immediate solution to our problems. But it's something that if we wait to take action on, we may do so at our own peril.
If indeed companies are given permission to drill off the continental shelf, off the coast, is there going to be some requirement that the oil thereby produced not be exported?
Well, in the situation that you're granting that authority, you could put in the law exactly where the oil would need to be sold. You could do that. I don't know that there have been any specific proposals related to that, and that is a fact that I'm not aware of what the senator's stand is on the particular issue. But are there ways that, as a nation, that we could do that? Yes, but let's face it, we're in a global market on energy. There is coal being exported out of the United States to China. There is a market for this. We just don't want to be subjected to the supply that is controlled by nations that are not our friends.
Okay, we're finding out more about Senator John McCain's energy policies. My guest, John Husted, Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, co-chair of the McCain-Palin campaign in Ohio. Time for a few more questions here before we close. Jeff is next. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Fred. I want to ask Speaker Husted, if Senator McCain supports a windfall profit tax on the oil companies such as Exxon and those who are making record profits over the last few years, and secondly, how much, if he has any idea, how much Senator McCain's campaign is receiving and campaign contributions from oil companies, and I'll hang up and listen.
Jeff, thanks for your call. I believe Speaker Husted, that John McCain does not support a windfall profit tax.
Well, here's the thing about a windfall profits tax. The last time one was imposed, it may feel good to say, look, we're going to get these guys. We're going to get these big oil companies. We're going to drive their we're going to drive up their tax bill. That may feel good, but the bottom line is when we've done those kinds of things in the past, it's driven down production in this country. It's driven out research and development in those areas that we're taxing. And it ultimately harms consumers because a restricted supply of energy is going to drive up their cost of, or going to drive up the cost at the pump. And you know, look, I just think from a personal point of view that as I've watched those kinds of things happen in the past, they have not helped the consumer. I don't think that they should get tax breaks. Senator McCain has voted in the past to eliminate those special tax breaks for big oil, but to impose a punitive tax on somebody to think that you're somehow going to help the consumer, you're not. You're going to harm the consumer by doing that.
The Obama campaign charges that John McCain has received $2 million in oil company campaign contributions, and they also charge that the senator plans $4 billion with a B in new tax breaks for big oil. How does the senator respond?
Well, the fact of the matter is that Barack Obama's received more campaign contributions from big oil and the employees of those oil companies than John McCain has. If we're going to talk about campaign finance, let's talk about who kept their promises. John McCain and Barack Obama both promised during the primary that they would go to a public financing system once the election or the conventions were over. John McCain honored that promise. Barack Obama did not.
Mm-hmm. What about the charge that the senator plans $4 billion in new tax breaks for oil companies?
I don't accept that charge. Look, John McCain is looking to try to reduce taxes on all Americans and all businesses. We don't want to drive taxes up and get less production out of anyone, whether they're an oil company, whether they're a small business owner, whether they're the average mom and pop out there trying to make ends meet. The idea that we're going to give more money to government, give more of our freedom up to government by empowering government with more of our resources does not help consumers. It doesn't help business. It doesn't help America.
All right. We have time for a quick question. Susan, if you're very quick, we have time for a question from you about energy policy.
Well, I was surprised to hear you say that John McCain differs with George Bush and accepts that global warming is caused by human use of fossil fuels. So I'm wondering why, given that, he chose a running mate who is in opposition to that, who does not believe that global warming is caused by human use of fossil fuels, and is also opposed to John McCain's opposition to drilling in Alaska. I wonder why he chose a running mate who is so aligned with the Bush policy on global warming.
All right, John Husted.
Well, frankly, John McCain's not afraid of people who differ from his points of view. That's why he's been able to work in Washington with people across the aisle, both Democrats and Republicans, to try to solve America's problems. If you have to have somebody on your ticket that sees everything the way that you do, then you probably didn't need him to begin with. It's good to have divergent viewpoints, but John McCain is going to be is the Republican nominee. I hope he'll be president, and his views are as such. He's for an all-of-the-above approach that supports renewable energy technologies, that supports advanced energy technologies to create a cleaner, greener nation, one that's energy independent and that provides for both our economic and national security.
All right. We've been talking with John Husted, Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, co-chair of the McCain-Palin campaign in Ohio, about Senator McCain's energy proposals. John Husted, thanks very much for being with us.
Fred, thank you very much.
When we come back, a representative joins us for the campaign of Barack Obama on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Today's financial crisis has been compared quite often, in fact, to the Great Depression. And yeah, there are a lot of similarities.
The 1920s were a period of speculative excess, of unregulated exuberance, leading to an enormous collapse of confidence.
But there is more to it. I'm Kai Rizdal. A history lesson and more of Fallout, our special coverage of America's financial crisis, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Marketplace begins at 6 o'clock tonight, now on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music. Good morning, I'm Amy Jarovich. Thanks for joining us for Open Line this morning.
Support for the State House News Bureau stories on WOSU comes from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher education faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at ohea.org. WOSU News reports on the stories you need to hear and the stories you want to hear.
The crowd appeared to approve of McCain's speech.
He is such a stand-up person that we just couldn't have a greater leader for our country.
But not everyone who showed up at Capital University was a McCain-Palin supporter.
We're trying to make a change here in this country. We need a change.
Get more from your news with the award-winning WOSU News team on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music.
And be sure to join us at 2 o'clock this afternoon for Talk of the Nation. Talk of the Nation is in Ohio this week. Yesterday, they were right here in Columbus at our studios at WOSU at COSI. And today, they're in Athens, Ohio. Ohio is not just a key swing state in the 2008 presidential election. It's a microcosm of much of the U.S. The Rust Belt, the Bible Belt, college towns, manufacturing, agriculture, and Appalachia. Winning Ohio requires more than one strategy. How to Win Ohio, that discussion and listeners' calls, coming up on Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock, right here on WOSU 820, NPR News.
Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820, NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. This hour we're learning more about the major party presidential candidate's position on energy issues. As you know, last half hour we heard from the Senator John McCain campaign, and this half hour, speaking for the campaign of Senator Barack Obama, L.G. Holstein is former Assistant Secretary for Oceans and Atmosphere at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Welcome to Open Line, L.G. Holstein.
Thank you, Fred. Nice to be with you.
And we're at 614-292-8513 for your questions. You can email questions or comments to openline@wosu.org. L.G. Holstein, Barack Obama says he will ensure that 10% of our electricity comes from renewable sources like wind and solar by 2012 and up to 25% from renewables by 2025. How is he going to do this?
Well, these are aggressive and forward-leaning proposals, and they do reflect, I think, the kind of change that Barack Obama wants to bring to this country. And how would he go about doing it? First and foremost, by stimulating investments in renewable energy sources such as wind and solar. By the way, wind power is by far the fastest growing source of electricity in the country and represents a major contributor potentially to our future electricity mix. These percentages, what we call these renewable portfolio standards for renewable energy, are actually quite typical now at the state level. About half the states have these kinds of targets and goals, and Senator Obama is simply saying, let's make it a national effort. And this, of course, is a key distinction between Senator Obama and Senator McCain. Senator Obama believes that what we have lacked in this country for the last several decades is a program, an energy program, that reflects the seriousness of the energy problems we face and that is proportionate to the scale of effort we have to undertake to solve them. In other words, to put it in the terms that he often talks about it, it's the kind of approach that we took to putting a man on the moon. It's exactly the kind of approach we need to take in order to reduce our dependence on imported oil and bring these energy prices down to Americans.
When you say stimulating investment in renewables like wind and solar, how does the federal government go about doing that?
The federal government has in place, although Senator McCain has repeatedly opposed it, what we call the production tax credits. In other words, this is a small, it's like 1 to 2 cents per kilowatt for the production of power from renewable energy sources. And so that is one way in which millions, if not billions of dollars, have in the last couple of years begun to flow into the renewable energy sector.
Mm-hmm. Senator McCain also says he proposes a tax credits. In fact, he says he wants to regularize the current patchwork of temporary tax credits for these sustainable energy sources as well.
Senator McCain has recently said that he's in favor of it. However, his track record doesn't bear that out. He's voted against these proposals for over 20 times. I think the number is 23 times in recent years. And so he talked about patchwork. There's a patchwork of uneven support, if not opposition, from Senator McCain to this idea. And he definitely opposes the renewable portfolio standards that half the states in the union have adopted in order to bring about more renewable energy development.
Senator Obama says he wants to enact a windfall profits tax on oil companies to provide, he says, a $1,000 emergency energy rebate to American families. Now, what kind of a rebate are we talking about, and how big a tax?
He's talked about a rebate of about $1,000 per household. In fact, $1,000 per household is a calculation that's based upon the dramatic cost increases that American families have been experiencing as a result of the near doubling of energy prices over the last year and a half. Now, how would the windfall profits tax be structured?
Oh, LG, may I ask you just before you?
Yeah.
You're talking about cutting a $1,000 check for every American family?
A $1,000 check for every American family to help compensate them for the dramatic run-up in energy costs paid for by the windfall profits tax.
Okay, yeah. Now, yeah, second question then, how big a tax is that going to be on oil companies?
The tax on the oil companies would depend upon the level of energy prices, and right now it's very hard to say. In other words, we were up, when he first made the proposal, we were up at about almost $150 a barrel oil. Prices now are down about $90 to about $90 a barrel for oil. And so the tax collection would be go down proportionately. But I think the key thing to focus on here is that the oil companies, the largest oil companies, have been making the highest profits in the history of corporate America. And Senator Obama's view is that recycling some of that money back to taxpayers so that they can handle some of these higher energy costs would be a fair thing to do.
In the previous half hour, our guest speaker of the House, John Husted, for the McCain campaign, said that, you know, it could be emotionally satisfying to put forth a windfall tax on oil company profits. But he said that would discourage oil company research and development and further research in new oil fields, in new drilling techniques, et cetera. And he says, why do that?
Well, you know, I hardly know what to say when representatives of Senator McCain's campaign say things like emotionally satisfying. The point is American families are facing a crisis right now, a financial crisis. It's not an emotional, made-up response. It's a real deal crisis, and it is partly driven by the shock to family budgets coming from high energy prices. And I say that as we now approach the winter months when home heating fuels are expected to be dramatically higher than they were last winter. So I don't think this is playing fast and loose. I think this is exactly the kind of emergency action we need to take in this country. And Senator Obama feels that the working families in America deserve some sort of break. And if that means imposing a tax on the oil companies' record-breaking profits as a means to recycle some of that money, that's why he's in favor of it.
When we talk about permanent reduction over time in the cost of gasoline at the pump, in the cost of natural gas for home heating, what is Senator Obama's approach, a multi-pronged approach, I would imagine, to permanent reduction?
Yes, permanent reduction is the way we have to go about these problems. And he's laid out a plan that would have us backing out the equivalent of all the oil we produce from the Middle East in 10 years' time. That's an incredibly ambitious and aggressive plan. But again, it's the kind of plan, the scale of a plan that we need in America in order to restore our economic and, of course, our energy balance. So what are the elements of that plan? Just to name a few, and maybe we'll get into more of them when we get to questions. But, of course, the first thing we have to do is to expand our domestic supplies of energy. So he does support offshore drilling. In order to do that, he does support the use of America's several hundred years' worth of coal. That's our vast coal resources we have right here in America, which he supports using in a cleaner burning fashion so that it doesn't worsen our climate change problems. And so the development of these domestic resources, like building the Alaska Natural Gas Pipeline, he's all for it. So first you have to increase America's supplies of energy. And then on the demand side, we have to give Americans the access to the new products such as automobiles and refrigerators and heating and cooling equipment that meets the highest standards of efficiency. So, for example, in the case of automobiles, his plan would put 1 million plug-in hybrid electric vehicles on the road by 2015. He supports, in the meantime, a dramatic increase in the corporate average fuel economy so that we can get vehicles that are 2 to 3 or even 4 times more energy efficient, that is to say, better mileage, than the vehicles we have been getting. To do that, he proposes a form of national assistance to our American auto companies to help them with the transition to make the high-mileage vehicles of the future. These are technologies that have been proven. These are technologies that in some cases are being developed by the companies already themselves, and we need to get them out of the, if you will, out of the backroom laboratory, out of the design shops, and onto America's highways and into our driveways.
LG, when you say a kind of assistance to car companies to produce these high-mileage vehicles, are we talking about cash grants from the federal government?
Well, the first and most important step was just taken a few weeks ago when Congress approved a multi-billion-dollar loan to the auto companies so they can do exactly what I've been describing and what Senator Obama's been calling for, which is to retool their equipment so they can produce the high-mileage vehicles that we're going to start seeing in showrooms just in the next few months. This is critically important. Because the auto companies in America have been taking such a hit from these high energy prices, Senator Obama felt that that it was appropriate to provide that assistance. And that's exactly what the Congress has now done.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you say we have 100. By the way, 614-292-8513 is the number to call for questions about Senator Barack Obama's energy proposals. And speaking for the Obama campaign, L.G. Holstein is former Assistant Secretary for Oceans and Atmosphere at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. You can also email comments and questions to openline@wosu.org. You mentioned 100 years of coal as a possibility here as part of the energy mix. And we hear about clean coal, but is there a reliable technology now to burn coal cleanly?
We have, you're right, several hundred years worth of coal reserves in America, and we have to find a way to burn it more cleanly because it is a major contributor, particularly in these 30- and 40-year-old electricity plants that burn coal without any real equipment to clean up the emissions. So what can we do about it? The Massachusetts Institute of Technology conducted an extensive study of the coal-burning technologies just about a year ago, And it's really worth a look on their website, because what they say is that there's several different technologies that can help us burn coal more cleanly. We just don't know yet which one is going to work. And so what Senator Obama has committed to doing is a cost-shared arrangement, that is to say, the private sector and the government working together to build commercial-scale demonstration plants to find out which of these technologies will work. And MIT says that process will take 8 to 10 years to get those demonstration facilities built, figure out which one of these technologies will work, and then get about the business of building the new nuclear power plants, and if possible, retrofitting the older ones so that our future clean coal-generated electricity won't put the same level of emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, into the air.
Is MIT convinced that you can have clean coal technology? Do we know that any of these techniques will work?
Well, you know, did we know exactly how we were going to put a man on the moon? No, we didn't. What we did was to throw our hat over the fence, so to speak, and commit ourselves to it. As President Kennedy said at the time, we plan to put a man on the moon. And to do these kinds of aggressive things in America, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. And that's what MIT has said. We will have to make substantial investments in these technological research and development activities, but it can be done, in Senator Obama's view, with using the best research centers of America, our great universities, et cetera, to solve these problems that we have in the energy world.
Mm-hmm. Now, Barack Obama, you say, favors nuclear power as a part of the mix. I believe that about, 20% of our electricity is now generated by nuclear plants. What percentage does he see generated from nuclear in the mix? And how many additional power plants to be constructed is he talking about?
Senator Obama does understand that 20% of our electricity comes from nuclear power, and about 70% of our non-carbon electricity generation is attributable to the use of nuclear power. Nuclear power, in his view, will remain part of America's energy mix into the future. But how many plants? And that's a very important question and a very hard one to know the answer to. What we do know is that Senator McCain's proposal right out of the box to build 45 new nuclear power plants at $8 to $10 billion each is a reckless and poorly thought out, if it's been thought through at all, proposal that would impose huge costs on the American public. Instead, Senator Obama believes that what we need to do is to have a program in which we do some research and development so that we can solve some of the problems with nuclear power. Problems such as the long-term disposal of the waste that comes out of the power plants, and then we can standardize some of these designs to try to bring the cost down and build the first couple of new plants. We haven't built a new one in this country in a couple of decades, and see whether or not the newer technologies of nuclear power can be built less expensively, and ensure that they have high levels of efficient operation, as indeed the current fleet of nuclear plants has.
As you say, Senator McCain proposes 45 new nuclear plants by the year 2030, but you say that would impose a great cost on taxpayers. But why would that be, given if private industry builds those plants and if federal regulations are cleared aside so that they can do that? Why would that impose any cost on taxpayers at all?
Because ultimately, while those costs may or may not come through the tax system, the costs of building new power plants of any kind, Fred, are actually borne by ratepayers. They're borne by you and me, and they're passed through. Those costs of new power plant construction are passed through to all of us in our electricity bills. What does that mean to us? If we're going to build 45 new power plants at a cost of $8 to $10 billion each, that's a pretty significant commitment to be making to nuclear power. Ultimately, you know, maybe it's going to be necessary, but the problem is that John McCain has proposed another feature of his 45 nuclear plant proposal, which is disturbing, and that is to adopt the French system. It's called reprocessing, which takes the spent nuclear fuel and creates a byproduct from it, which is plutonium. And Senator Obama strongly opposes that because of his concern that it would depart from 20 to 30 years of American policy that has opposed reprocessing because of the proliferation concerns. So you have these couple of problems with Senator McCain's proposals, and even though Senator Obama believes that nuclear power should remain part of our energy mix, he wants to devote some research and development efforts at the federal level to solve some of these problems, including ensuring that our nuclear infrastructure is safe and secure from the standpoint of, terrorism and other forms of incursions into critical infrastructure protection that in a post 9/11 world, unfortunately, we do need to worry about.
At 614-292-8513, Dave is on the line. Hello, Dave.
Yes, from what I've just heard, it doesn't really sound to me like Osama really does have an energy program. Number one, you're not really taking into account any of the pending lawsuits, even if he wanted to do offshore drilling, that are pending in that situation. Those all have to be overcome, which will take years, if not decades, to try and overcome those. And then all these other obstacles with Greenpeace that's out there, which is constituency of Obama's, I just don't see. All these things are tentative, whereas McCain seems to have a definite program that he wants to put into place, and everything with Obama sounds to me like it's all on the if-come.
L.G. Holstein, your response.
Well, I haven't heard the caller say exactly how Senator McCain would deal with these lawsuits, but I will.
He stated how he was going to do it.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry, you said lawsuits, okay. But you didn't mention the lawsuits.
All right, well, let me do that now and simply say that right now, right while we're speaking, there are 68 million acres of land, public land, that have been leased to the oil companies already, and which are available for drilling right now without any lawsuits. And Senator Obama has said that his first priority will be to make sure that the oil companies drill on that acreage in kind of a use-it-or-lose-it proposition to protect the taxpayers of America from having these lands leased but no oil and gas produced from them. Number two, we have vast areas that are available for new leasing, such as in the deep waters of the Gulf of Mexico, and Senator Obama supports leasing those areas, which, by the way, would not be subject to lawsuits because we've been doing.
But those are all uncharted areas where that'll take years of exploration to define where the oil actually is. The offshore areas, those are pinpointed areas where they know that there is oil existing and that the lawsuits were impending. So either way, his plan is still going to take years to get that oil flowing back into here. Whereas if you went up into Anwar and those areas up there, we could begin nearly immediately on getting that oil down here to the 48 states.
Well, I'm afraid the caller has some facts confused here. Every single frontier area, no matter where it is, whether it's off the Georgia or Carolina coast, whether it's in Anwar, every single so-called frontier area has to go through a certain period of geophysical activity, including seismic work and other kinds of initial work in order to locate the hydrocarbon deposits. That's a given. And that is exactly why the Department of Energy has come out and said that Senator McCain's promise that offshore drilling would lower gasoline prices at the pump is a fraud. It won't work because we only have 3% of the oil and gas, the oil reserves left in the entire world here in the United States, even in these frontier areas. And so because of the lag time in developing those resources, and because we don't have as much as, say, the rest of the world, like in the Middle East has, the real direction America's energy policy has to move in is to get us off this imported oil, and that is the focus of Senator Obama's energy proposals. So, yes, there will be delays in bringing online the new Outer Continental Shelf oil and gas reserves. There's always that lag time. Nothing we can do about it, and it doesn't have anything to do with lawsuits. But the much more important thing, if we're going to keep our eyes on the prize here, it has to be to move our country off of this oil dependence, because everybody from Al Gore to T. Boone Pickens agrees we can't drill our way out of this problem.
Dave, thanks for your questions. And speaking for the Barack Obama, presidential campaign with us, L.G. Holstein is former Assistant Secretary for Oceans and Atmosphere at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Time for a few more questions before we close at 614-292-8513. L.G., then, is there any difference in terms of drilling offshore between Senator Obama's proposals and Senator McCain's proposals? They sound about the same.
There are a couple of differences. One is Senator McCain, I think, has made this false promise that we can solve our problems at the gasoline pump with these high prices by doing this offshore drilling, and Senator Obama believes that offshore drilling will make an important continuing contribution to America's domestic energy resources. But he has made clear that if we're going to do that, it has to be part of a group of, if you will, a list of things that we do as a country that ultimately moves us off of oil. And that's where I think he and Senator McCain differ in our approaches to the offshore drilling activity. Senator McCain has said, drill here, drill now, drill, baby, drill, build 45 new $10 billion a copy in nuclear power plants. Senator Obama says, wait a minute. We do need energy sources in this country, like clean coal, like natural gas from Alaska, like offshore oil and gas. But at the same time, if we don't have the aggressive energy efficiency and conservation activities, such as new high-mileage vehicles and refrigerators and so forth that use less electricity, we will never get off of imported oil. And that needs to be the focus of the next president of the United States.
I believe Senator McCain also encourages this kind of energy conservation. In fact, he offers a $300 million prize to improve battery technologies for plug-in hybrid and fully electric vehicles. So I don't see a great deal of difference in that approach.
Can I just address the prize question? Everybody likes the idea of a prize, and they have been tried with some success here and there. But this kind of crystallizes a key differences. Between these two candidates. Senator McCain's notion of a prize, which would go to somebody, perhaps an inventor in their garage coming up with the next great idea, great if it happens. But Senator Obama believes and has a plan to invest $150 billion over 10 years in an aggressive American research and development program akin to the kind of program we had that put a man on the moon. And that kind of program brings to the problem the best minds in America at our great universities, at our research centers, at our national laboratories, and puts them all to work on this problem instead of sort of hoping that somebody in their garage, in order to win a prize, is going to come up with a solution. Maybe they will, but what we really need in America, if we want to get off of this imported oil, is a national program akin to the Apollo program that put a man on the moon.
We have time for another question here. Robert, if you're quick, we can take a question from you. Hi.
Yeah, what's the problem with being on foreign oil? I mean, don't we want to save our oil and let everyone else use up their oil so that we're the last country in the world with oil left over? Why do we want to run out of oil first?
That's a fair question. I don't get it very often, but let's look at it. Oil is an international commodity. It's fungible. It moves all around the world, and so in some ways, it doesn't matter who has the last barrel of oil. As the amount of oil available to the world market declines, the price for everybody goes way, way up. And so one concern is that if you simply did nothing and continued to rely on ever higher percentages of your oil from imported or foreign sources, you would end up with oil prices not at $100 or $150 a barrel, but at $200, $300, $400 a barrel. And so the point here is to start backing out imported oil by reducing our oil consumption generally across the board. And the benefits of that are obvious. You end up paying less at the gas pump, and you pave the way for the renewable energy sources and other clean energy sources that will have to take the place of oil and gas, which at a certain point in the coming decades, not the coming centuries, but the coming decades, will no longer be adequate in quantity to meet the international demand for traditional oil and natural gas.
All right. Robert, thanks for your question. Speaking for the Barack Obama presidential campaign, L.G. Holstein, former Assistant Secretary for Oceans and Atmosphere at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Previously heard, we heard from the John McCain campaign with Ohio Speaker of the House, John Houston. L.G. Holstein, thanks for being with us.
Fred, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
News is next on listener-supported WOSU, WOSU HD 820 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.